This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life does not stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. About 25 years ago, the husband of one of my wife's cousins was on a flight home to the U.S. across the Atlantic when he suffered a heart attack on board and unfortunately died because they did not have the medical technical capabilities to save his life. His wife then became a proponent for getting more medical equipment on board, particularly defibrillators, so that people who are having heart attacks can at least have a better fighting chance of surviving. Well, now, a new study that is out in just the last week says you have a much better chance of surviving an in-flight medical emergency now than ever before. The odds of having a medical emergency are only 1 in about 600 flights, or 16 events per 1 million passengers. But our next guest is one of the people who helps keep passengers alive when they do have those problems in midair. His name is Dr. Christian Martin Gill. He works for MDSTAT, which is a service at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center that advises about 20 major airlines on how to handle in-flight emergencies. Christian, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show.
How are things different now than that incident 25 years ago?
Well, specifically from what you mentioned of that passenger having a cardiac arrest on the flight, now all of the aircraft in the United States are required to have an automated defibrillator on board, so they would be able to address that type of a situation specifically.
Okay. Do they also need to have somebody who is a trained MD on board to do it, or are all the flight crews now taught, here's how you use this equipment, and is it actually flight attendants who are saving lives?
It's a combination of both. Mainly in terms of requirements, the flight attendants are required to have training in CPR and the management of that defibrillator so that they could by themselves respond to a passenger on board to be able to start CPR and use a defibrillator if needed. But at the same time, one of the unique findings in our study was that in about 75% of cases where there is some type of medical emergency, a healthcare volunteer actually responded to that event. And so you may anticipate that in a majority of in-flight medical emergencies, there would be a combination of a trained flight attendant that at least knows how to do some of the most critical interventions, as well as a healthcare provider on board that would then have access to an onboard medical kit and other capabilities that are on board the aircraft.
When you say a healthcare provider, you mean a doctor or a nurse?
So in 50% of in-flight emergencies, it was actually a doctor that was on board, and then the next most common was a nurse in about 20% of cases, and then also people like EMTs and paramedics and other healthcare providers also respond in certain cases.
Do we have more of them in the general population now so that there's a better chance that they're on board that flight, or have they always been there?
Well, that unfortunately I can't tell with true certainty. Certainly, I think that doctors specifically and other healthcare providers tend to travel often, and so the odds that one of them would be on an aircraft is relatively high. At least that's what we're finding when we're actually managing these emergencies and asking for assistance. At the same time, though, it's important to recognize that sometimes there may be a healthcare provider on board, and they may or may not feel comfortable raising their hand and rendering assistance to a passenger. So part of what we wanted to do is encourage any healthcare providers that are on board to feel comfortable and have a better understanding of the types of emergencies they may encounter so that they would certainly volunteer and help their fellow passenger.
What's the liability for a passenger getting involved?
Well, fortunately, there was an act in 1998 called the Aviation Medical Assistance Act, and this provides what we would commonly refer to as a Good Samaritan provision. So healthcare providers that volunteer to assist fellow passengers on an aircraft are specifically protected from liability except for cases of gross negligence or willful misconduct. So in the vast majority of cases, they do have protection to be able to render assistance to a passenger. And in that act, there's also protection for the airlines that rely on those healthcare volunteers to provide advanced assistance.
Are there times when somebody on board has had to call you at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center from the air to the ground and say, what do we do?
Exactly. In fact, what we do for, as you mentioned, all of those airlines is provide just that. And we do that throughout the day. So we contract with specific airlines that have in their policies that they contact us in the ground at our communication center, where we have expert physicians that are trained not only in emergency medicine but in flight physiology and how to handle these situations. And flight crews are instructed to contact us specifically whenever there is this type of an emergency, which is what allowed us to look at so many cases and provide a description of what happened. But we're able to provide expert advice and tell them what medications they may use out of the medical kit, and specifically help the pilot address questions about, for example, when they need to divert an aircraft to get the passenger to a hospital very quickly.
You mentioned flight physiology. Does that mean that the physiology, the physical presence in a pressurized cabin is going to make the circumstances different than if they were on the ground in an emergency room or their own living room?
Exactly. So we find a couple of conditions that occur for passengers that are likely to predispose them to certain medical emergencies. For example, the content of oxygen in the air, just like when you go up to altitude, is lower than it is at sea level. Cabins are typically pressurized to about 8,000 feet of altitude compared to sea level. And so passengers that have respiratory conditions or otherwise may need a supplemental oxygen may find themselves having respiratory issues on board an aircraft. And then we also find, probably just from the act of traveling multiple flights and certainly in long distances, that passengers tend to be dehydrated. The dry air of the cabin certainly doesn't help that likely. And so we actually found that the most common medical emergency was somebody feeling lightheaded or passing out. And so we can provide specific recommendations knowing about those types of situations.
Have you ever had to talk somebody through giving birth?
Not directly giving birth, but actually we've had certainly had a number of cases where somebody was in labor, and we had to divert the aircraft relatively quickly to get on the ground. But fortunately, actually, women in labor are a very low likelihood event. Typically, as long as women are not beyond the 36th week of their pregnancy, it's generally safe for them to fly, and we actually found that there were a very low number of those types of cases.
You mentioned having to divert. Who makes that decision? Does the doctor, let's say that you're on board there, and that would be a good thing, I think, for everybody, since you're really an expert in all of this. If you're on my flight and I'm having a problem, I want you there, Christian. But let's say you recognize that there's a problem on there. Do you have the authority to tell the pilot, hey, get this plane down on the ground now, we got to get this guy to a hospital?
Because of the safety of everybody on board, the pilot in charge is actually the person that is able to make any final decisions about when it is safe for an aircraft to land, when and how it operates. And that is true really for any aviation situation. It's the pilot in charge that has that ultimate responsibility for the safety of everybody on board. And so what we do is we work closely with the pilots, and they're typically the ones that we're specifically speaking with on the radio or by satellite phone and providing them with recommendations. One of the primary reasons that they contact us on the ground is because we're very experienced in dealing with these situations and have addressed many of them. And so we're able to provide them very concrete recommendations. And typically, we work together so that they follow those recommendations. And really, it would only be a matter of safety, of ability to get the aircraft down on the ground to this airport or that airport that would dictate anything else.
But you have the ability to say to that pilot, look, this is so serious, I need you to get on the ground as quickly as you can. Find a safe place to land, but do it now instead of going on to your destination.
Exactly. And we did that in about 7% of the cases that we analyzed here in our study, where we said that the condition of the passenger was severe enough that we needed to find an alternate destination that was quick and that we could get them to a healthcare facility.
And then do you work with the end facility that they get to? You alert them, hey, these guys coming, here's the condition. Is there a constant flow of communication to them as well?
Yeah, we actually communicate with the EMS providers that would be the first ones to respond. So the paramedics and EMTs on the ground that we help to coordinate for an ambulance to come and meet the flight so that as soon as they get on the ground, they have immediate medical assistance available. And then they're the ones that are able to continue that chain of medical care taking them to the closest appropriate medical facility. And we actually are able to contact that facility and find out what happened to the passengers, which was also a bit of unique information we're able to gather.
Yeah, and that helped you put together this study. Dr. Christian Martin-Gill, one of the people at MDSTAT, a service at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center that advises about 20 major airlines on how to handle in-flight emergencies. I fly a lot, so I'm glad to know you're there, Christian. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Paul. It was a pleasure to have you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. America Weekend.